This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
I can't go out. I'm sick.
Boo, you whore.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Outgoing Without Going Out. I'm Lexi, and it's just me today. It is currently, as I'm recording this, Gabby's 26th birthday. She is in Orlando with her cheer team coaching for Worlds Weekend. So we decided I would do a little solo episode. And actually, all of the advice questions that I had saved for this episode are kind of a little bit more tailored to me. So it actually works out perfectly. I'm going to be finishing up the advice episodes for this little go around. And then next week, Gabby's going to come here and do a solo Cheer Worlds 26th birthday update episode. So a little solo pod swap these next 2 weeks. But I am stuck at home studying for my boards. And I decided let's record right now before we really get into the thick of studying. I have no motivation, you guys. My boards are on this upcoming Thursday, and it's Saturday when I'm recording this, and I just cannot get myself to study. I don't know what it is. I literally was making my to-do list for today, and I put vacuuming above studying for boards. I'm just doing everything in my power to push it off, and it's just not good. I think it's just years and years and years of studying and being in school, and I am just burnt out, you know? So we'll get to that in a little bit, but for right now, we're recording the podcast. I just made myself a little iced coffee at home. I had a slow morning, let myself lay in bed a little bit this morning. Of course, Rita woke me up by pulling my hair out of my braid like she does every morning that she wants fed. But I fed her, and then I just went back and laid in bed for a little bit, and then I got up and got some random things done. I had to put a birthday gift together for one of my friend's birthday tomorrow, and just random things. I cleaned up the house a little bit, and now we're here recording the podcast. I was watching Real Housewives of New York. I caught up on Summer House from this week, and I can't push off work any longer, so we're recording the podcast, and then I'm gonna go outside and study a little bit as well. So that's what's happening here. This week, what did I do? Honestly, I don't know. The week went by quickly. I spent free time trip planning a little bit for our honeymoon. If you guys have not already listened, I did post a Q&A over on my YouTube channel all about the wedding. I think we'll do probably a podcast episode about it as well coming up soon. So we'll have some exclusive details. I'm acting like it's a celebrity wedding. There's literally under 30 people, all family and friends. But I'm really excited to just basically elope with our family. And then go on a big trip afterwards with Sean and I. So just some planning for that, and then studying for boards and working out and chilling. I finished, book wise, where am I at? I just started a 6-book series, and I don't even know how I came across this. I think I came across it on Goodreads. Maybe it was recommended to me, but I finished the first book. It is the Stillhouse Lake series by Rachel Kane. Loved the first book, and I'm on to the second one right now. So it's really difficult when you're studying to give yourself time to read for fun, but I'm trying to get to that point. And then I am not currently listening to an audiobook right now. I'm trying to think of what the last one that was that I finished. I think I already talked about it with you guys, but I took a little break. Just been doing podcasts and music on my drives lately, and haven't started a new audiobook. So probably get back into that once I finish boards this week. But basically, it's just what boards are. It's a 2-part thing to get board certified as a pediatric dentist. The first test is a computer-based test. I think it's 240 or 50 questions. And you just got to pass. So I'm hoping for the best. I take that on Thursday morning, like I was saying. And I'm really excited for it to be over. I booked myself a facial for afterwards to just kind of relax. And that's pretty much all I've been doing. I feel like this week has been not boring, but kind of just like kind of meh. Getting my life together and the constant battle in my head of like, I should be studying, but I just don't want to. It's pretty much taken up all my energy. But why don't we hop in to my favorite? So, honestly, I haven't put much thought into what my favorite is. And I would say it's literally laying horizontal. But no, my favorite this week is actually FabFitFun. I'm working with them, not on the podcast, but I just think the concept is so neat. And I actually think it's a really great gift for somebody to get them like a couple months of subscription or like a 1 year, because I think it's by season. So I just picked out my items and got my summer box in. And it is just like the coolest little like group of items that you can choose from. So I ended up picking some wine bottle stoppers. One's like a hot pepper and the other one I think is a lemon. They're just really cute. Some waterproof cards for the summer by the pool. I'm like, how fun is that? I didn't even know those existed. They're like playing cards. I got some toiletry bags that seem like really good quality for travel. What else did I get? I think like a glow serum for your body. I don't know. I just think it's like so cool to literally go on and pick out items from choices. Like, I don't know. The kid in me is screaming. So FabFitFun is my favorite this week. I will, like I said, it's not sponsored or anything, but I think I will have a discount code. So I will leave that on the story when I tag my favorites for you guys on the podcast Instagram. But that's my favorite. Honestly, the beginning segment is not that chatty when it is just me. So why don't we hop into the advice and answer some of your questions? Okay, the first question is, what are your favorite stores to shop at? I need style help. Honestly, I also need style help, but I feel like lately I've found some really good places that I enjoy shopping that have good basics that aren't like crazy expensive. So I'm gonna give some like tiered options. So number one, basics, affordable. I love Old Navy and Zara. They are like my go-to. Old Navy especially has been so good lately. Like their stuff, oh my gosh, chef's kiss. I've been loving it. Old Navy, and then Zara, of course, which we don't have a Zara in person near us. They're like 2 hours away, and their website gives me chest pains, but I do love going into a Zara. I think they have really great stuff, and both of them, I think, are good for basics. Some of my favorite pieces ever, like tank tops and like trouser pants, linen pants, like came from Zara and Old Navy, and I wear the crap out of them, and they're not that expensive, so those two places for sure. And then like middle tier, I would say Hollister, Lulu's. Can't go wrong. Honestly, Hollister is making a huge comeback. Some of my favorite clothing, again, sundresses that I wear and tops are Hollister. And they're like on the slightly cheaper price point than the next tier, I would say, which is like a little bit more higher end price point, which I would say Petal & Pup Boutique, Abercrombie, what else are like a little bit more expensive but have like the cutest stuff? Revolve, again, some brands on Revolve you can get for like a little bit cheaper, like Super Down and things like that. But I would say just like if you're on the hunt for like style help, like good quality pieces, I would say just like check out those websites, see when they have sales, and when something you like goes on sale, like jump on it. But those are the places I've been loving recently. And then for Pinterest, like style inspo, I would say that's like always where I go. So Pinterest, I have a whole board of like outfit inspo just to get ideas on like what looks good together and then figure out what feels good. At least for me, I only wear clothes that I feel comfortable in. If it is like too tight or not comfortable, I just simply won't wear it. So trying it on is huge. So find places either that you can go in store and try on or good return policies. And then of course, like TJ Maxx, Marshalls, you can't go wrong with those, honestly. And they have some amazing brands lately. I went into TJ Maxx the other day and I was literally stunned at the brands. They had some like Revolve brands in TJ Maxx. So highly recommend checking those options out as well, of course, for in-store shopping. Okay, next. I'm in medical school. I live with my husband in a condo. My husband is in the Air Force and is deployed right now for 5 months. We have a crazy one-year-old dog. I'm currently on my rotations, which consist of normal clinical work days and then studying at night for our rotation exams. I'm on surgery rotation now. The hours are brutal, rounding at 5:15 a.m., leaving the hospital at 5:30 p.m. Help. How do I manage my husband gone, missing my significant other, studying, going on rotations, taking care of my crazy puppy? I feel overwhelmed and feel like I don't have enough hours in the day. Okay, number one, I want to validate you because reading that, I totally understand why you're overwhelmed. That is a lot going on at one point. However, like just to spin it a little bit to like a more positive mindset, I will say because you're so busy, I feel like it helps with missing your husband being gone because you quite literally just don't have time to miss him. A lot happening there. I would say my only advice is time blocking a little bit and like planning out your time. So if you know you're going to be gone from 5:15 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., obviously during the day, probably not much you can do as far as like getting things done outside of work. I think if you can find time during the day to like just check in with your husband, that could really help, whether it's lunchtime or just like sending texts. I don't know how much time he has to talk. Even though Sean was in the Marines, it was before him and I were together, so I've never had to experience that. But I just know that like being in medical school, dental school, grad school, like whatever, there's just like a ton going on. And especially when you're studying for exams on top of that, I would say take time in the little moments for yourself. So like wake up a little extra early to just have time to like drink your coffee, tea, or whatever you do in the morning, hang out with your dog, take your dog on a walk. I feel like whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed, if I take Lola on a walk around the neighborhood and just like get outside, it just like helps my mental space so much. And time blocking, whether it's like you want to do it on your phone, if you use like Apple Calendar or Google Calendar, or you want to get like a physical planner, just to like plan out little things in your day, like literally write in your planner, like wake up, have time to myself from this time to this time, walk my dog from this time to this time, go to work, come home, study from this time to this time, so that you can block in also like time to relax, talk to your husband on the phone, like read for fun, study, like whatever you have. Honestly, like just time blocking and planning it out in advance. I know for me, I start to feel like there's just not enough time in the day when I have like a whole to-do list of things to do, but I haven't planned out like when I'm gonna do that. Once I plan it out and like actually map it out, I realize that like there is time to get things done. It may not be like what you wanna do. Like for example, today with studying, like I am giving myself like a 2-hour chunk of uninterrupted time to go sit outside, study with like Harry Potter on in the background or something and just like force myself to do it. But then I'm giving myself time afterwards to relax and like not study at all. So I think it's just like time blocking and balancing. At least that's what works for me. And then making sure that you're within that, giving yourself time to relax as well. Like actually penciling it in, because I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like if I don't plan things out, I'm just going to be like stuck between that awkward like trying to get things done while also trying to enjoy myself, and then I'm accomplishing nothing. And that is like a terrible spiral that I find myself in all the time. So my heart goes out to you. You do have a lot going on. You're very valid in feeling like that. Just try the time blocking thing out and like scheduling every little thing. It may sound stupid, but I feel like it really does help, at least with me, clear my head out. Okay. Next one, tips for figuring out where to live post-grad. I know I want to be somewhere on the East Coast, but I don't know what to choose or how to choose what state, city specifically. Okay, number one, my question for you is look at where there's job opportunities, because I feel like you kind of have to start there to narrow it down. The East Coast is very big. And then once you figure out where you could work, if you could work anywhere on the East Coast or you work remote, whatever, I don't know what you're getting a degree in, so it's kind of hard for me there. But figure out what your priorities are. Do you want somewhere that has more of a city vibe? Do you want somewhere with more land that's a little bit more rural? Do you want somewhere near a beach? Do you want somewhere with four seasons? Do you want somewhere that gets no snow? Like, figure out that. And then I feel like once you start to narrow it down, it's a little bit more cost effective to actually go visit these places. And I say visit them for at least a weekend. Explore the area. Do some research. I think like my favorite tip is to go on YouTube and watch people's vlogs of places where they live that you may be interested in living. It may not give you like exactly real life, But there's enough creators out there, I feel like, on the East Coast that you could figure out, okay, you know, this is their routine, especially if they have a job similar to yours. That's where I feel like TikTok too can come in. Like finding like a day in my life of someone that lives somewhere and does a similar thing to you, just to see if that's the vibe. And guess what? I don't know specifically what your job is, but you can always move if you don't like it. Postgrad, I feel like, is a really good time to explore somewhere new. But I say just like do your research as far as what is a good baseline of like your priorities. If you want somewhere that has good yoga studios or workout classes nearby, look that up. Like, I don't know. I feel like the world is your oyster right now. And kind of just figuring out where you have job opportunities. And then, you know, if you want somewhere where there's a lot of people that are also post-grad, look into cities like Charlotte or Boston or Atlanta or like Tampa. If you want somewhere a little bit more north, you can look at like, do you want to live in somewhere like New York City? Do you want to live, you know, somewhere more, I don't know. I'm just like naming cities that I know a lot of people I know my age live. If you don't want cities, look into like outskirts or suburbs of places around those areas. So I don't know if I helped at all, but I would say start with one. I mean, that's just like the practical type A version of me. That's just like, find where you can get a job and then narrow it down from there. Again, maybe you work remote. That's amazing. You can literally live wherever you want. And that also means you can get a job while you're still trying to figure out where you want to live. So I would say just take some trips, do some research on the internet, find out like what's important to you and go from there. Alrighty, next question. I've been living with my college roommates who are all juniors on the track team. The fall semester was great, but spring semester not so much. They are all in season with practice every day and meets on the weekends, and on the weekends they invite their boyfriends and track team over, which is totally fine. The trash is overflown by Sunday morning and they don't clean up a thing. They let it sit all week and wait for the cleaning lady that comes every Wednesday to take it all out, when she's really here to clean the toilets, mop, etc. Our house smells like garbage all week, and this happens every weekend. I didn't even want to go downstairs to make meals. This isn't a livable environment for anyone, but they walk right by it as if nothing's wrong. It's very inconsiderate. I've held my tongue for so long, but I finally had enough. I sent them a text saying, "Hi, the trash cans are overfilled and smell. Could you guys take them out, please? I would appreciate it if you would clean up after people or the team comes over. Thanks." I never got a response and they didn't take it out, but I absolutely refuse to clean up after them when their mess is not mine. I also feel bad for our cleaning lady who has to clean our ridiculously gross house every week too. Am I in the wrong? Am I being ridiculous for wanting to live in a clean house? I'm counting down the days until graduation because I can't stand living with them anymore. No, you are not in the wrong. I think you did the right thing by sending a text. Living with roommates is so difficult. Like, truly, truly, truly so difficult. It is, honestly, I see your dilemma because you don't want to do it, but it's also affecting you so much. Like, I'm the kind of person, I don't think this is right, but I would just do it, like, because it would drive me crazy. I think because they didn't respond to you over text, like, next time you see them, just be like, "Hey, guys, I don't mean to be a pain, but like it stinks in here and I know you guys aren't here all the time, but like if you could just, you know, we could figure out like a schedule to take the trash out when it's full or something," like just like phrase it in a way that isn't, I always say when confronting somebody, use I statements instead of you statements. That is something my therapist taught me, because people get less defensive when you say, instead of like, "You guys never take the trash out," say, "I'm just, you know, starting to realize that it's like smelling a little bit in here and I'm noticing that the trash is overflowing." It just becomes off as like a little bit less attacking, so people get a little bit less defensive. But it is so tough navigating roommates, and especially when it's like you're the odd one out. You know, if you want to come at it from like a very humble approach, you could even say like, find something that maybe you've noticed you haven't been doing. Be like, "I really want to work on this. Like, can you guys maybe help me out by doing the trash and I'll take this responsibility," or something. And this sounds horrible, but if you talk to the cleaning lady, maybe see if she can reach out to them and just be like, "I feel like I am not able to clean what I'm supposed to because I'm doing this, this, and that." I don't know. I'm just thinking of like different ways to do it. I think maybe, I know as hard as it is, like if because they didn't respond to the text, I think your next step is you have to reach out in person. And I know that's like not fun, but you guys are all living there. So unfortunately, I feel like that's kind of the only thing you can do besides counting down the days, which I'm sure you're already doing. But It is tough living with people, especially multiple people, and if you have different schedules and ideas of clean and things like that. But no, I'm somebody that likes a clean space. But I would say maybe they don't even know they're doing it because you sent a text. That's not really true. I feel like you sound like you're a pretty reasonable person with it. So I think just trying to bring it up in a nice way and use I statements instead of you. That's pretty much the only advice I can give. But yeah, it sucks navigating roommates, especially if they don't live in the same like style and habits that you do. But it's super nice that you have a cleaning lady. I can tell you none of my college living situations had a cleaning lady. So that's at least nice. Maybe band together with her and see if you can get something accomplished. Okay, the next question. How do you know when it's the right time to move out of your hometown? I've lived in the same area my whole life, going to college 4 hours away. My brother and his wife just moved to a new state, and my parents are retiring 3 hours away from my hometown, so I no longer have immediate family keeping me here like they were before. I've thought about moving so many times now, I feel like there's nothing keeping me here, but I'm also so scared to move to a new city. I'm 25, and I feel like this is the time to try new things, but I'm also a very anxious girly. Love the pod. Thank you so much. I feel like you answered your own question. Like, this sounds like the perfect time to move. Your family's moving away, so there's not immediate family keeping you there. I understand that it's scary, but like, I think now is the perfect time for you to branch out and try. I don't know like where you live, so I don't know like what the outlying cities are, but I feel like, again, kind of the information that we talked about with the previous question about living somewhere post-grad, honestly, just do some research and find out like where you'd like to try and live, and do even a shorter term lease if you want to, or explore new areas while you're living in your hometown to try and find out where exactly you want to try out and give it a shot. Like, I don't know. It sounds like you are in the mindset that you definitely want to try somewhere new. And I get that it's scary. I mean, when Sean and I moved down here, it was just us. Like, even now, like, we're not in a place where we have friends that we can just like call up and hang out with like on a regular basis, but we have each other. And I feel like finding people that you even, you know, through your work or workout classes, or if you have any friends that currently live in a new city and you just want to try that out, like, now is the perfect time to do it. I know it is scary, but I promise you it'll be so worth it. And guess what? The worst that happens is you move back home. Like, you move back to your hometown, but at least you tried and found somewhere new. And I feel like this is such an exciting time. It can be very scary, but like, it is so exciting. Like, branch out, try somewhere new. You will not regret it, I promise you. And if you like don't like it, like I said, you can always move back to your hometown. But I feel like you're at the perfect age, perfect stage in your life. Like, your parents are retiring and moving away. Your brother and sister-in-law moved away. Maybe try even like moving to the state that they live in, like, just so you have someone kind of close. That way you have like a little bit of a crutch if you get super anxious or you need family close by. But I'd say you just pull the trigger and go for it, because you'll never know until you give it a shot. And I feel like you'll look back and regret not trying. Okay, next. I have trauma from my ex, who was extremely emotionally abusive, and I didn't realize the damage until I started dating my current partner 6 months ago. When he tries to chat to me, I often explode in tears because I get so scared and triggered from what I've experienced. He's voiced that he's found it hard to talk to me and worries because he doesn't know how I react. I've tried to explain to him the damage my ex did being a narcissist, but he keeps saying, just get over it if you're over him. And I just don't know how to break through this with both him understanding, but also me actually getting over it. Love you both, all the way from Australia. Ugh, love you too. That is so cool that you live in Australia. Number one recommendation I would give to you is try out therapy. I know it can be scary, but honestly, you need to figure out how to work through this on your own. I do feel like the saying of just get over it is like not helpful. So that is not helpful, Mr. Boyfriend, or your current partner. I just think that that is just like, I understand the idea, if you're over him, get over it. But, you know, it's real. Trauma is sits deep in your body, whether you know it or not. And you can be completely over the person, but because you're going through now a new situation with a new person, you're always going to fall back on those old habits. So I feel like talk to a therapist. They can help you cope and understand why you're feeling these things. And they can also help you voice it to your partner so that you guys can work on it together. I just, like, that is my number one tip. I feel like, you know, that's what they go to school for. That's what you pay them for. I know it can be expensive too. I don't know how old you are, but look into options like BetterHelp or other online therapy, because it can be a little bit more affordable and a little bit less daunting. But I just like cannot recommend it enough that like that is the best thing you're going to do for yourself. And like once you help yourself, your relationship will be so much better. But like you need to work on it within you first, because this partner can be nothing like your old partner, and it's still going to bring up like similar trauma and feelings. And like I said, trauma sits like deep in your body. So it's literally a bodily reaction. But I just think it's the only option at this point. Like talk to a therapist, work through it, and try your best to explain these feelings to your boyfriend or your current partner, like not in a way of like comparing him to your ex, because I feel like that's maybe what is bringing up that little resentment on their side. But yeah, check into therapy. I feel like it is the greatest thing I did for myself, and I think you won't regret it. Okay, next one has like a two-parter, and I'm sorry, Gabby's not here to answer her part, but I will do my best. So she said, I have a question for each of you. I'm moving away to a big city alone, and I'm getting anxious about feeling safe. How did you find ways to feel safe while still exploring the city during your single era? So I'm going to answer that part first. So number one, I love that you're thinking of safety, because that is so important. I would say, just from things that I've seen, don't Uber places alone. You know, go places with friends. Like, just because you're single doesn't mean you can't find friends and explore big cities. As far as like little ways to feel safe, carry those, I think they're called like, I don't know, they're like alarms basically that you can put on your keychain. Those are super helpful. If you can carry pepper spray, I would recommend it. Just like little things that you can do that you know you'll have on you when walking around. Be super aware of your surroundings. Try not to listen to like music on noise canceling headphones and look at your phone when you're walking around. I feel like that can just be a recipe for disaster. Don't go places that feel unsafe. That sounds like stupid, but use your intuition. And then as far as like your living environment, they sell a bunch of really cool stuff on Amazon, like door locks that are like theft proof, where you can like put it up against the door so that they can't kick your door down, little alarms for your windows, just like little things like that. I don't know what city you live in, but just from friends that I know that live in big cities, I know that that can be super, super helpful. And then the next question says, I'm moving away for graduate school for physical therapy, so I'm a fellow healthcare girly. What did you wish you knew before starting dental school in terms of finding ways to balance school and life, efficient ways to study, reduce stress, etc.? I know you also lived with roommates at one point. Was it worth it to save money? Whew, we just talked about the roommate thing. I think if it is your only option, obviously, to save money, that is 100% a great way to do it. Splitting bills with people is going to cut down the cost a lot. Just be very careful who you room with. I think especially rooming with people in your own program can be toxic. Not for everyone. You can find people that are great. Like, as much as you find somebody and you're like, oh my gosh, I could be friends with this girl, let's live together, I think it's more important to find people that live the same way you do, even if you're not best friends. That is going to be way better in the long run, because it can just be so difficult, as we talked about in the previous one, to find people that live with similar habits as you. And also find somebody that's a good communicator. Like, it's like dating, finding roommates, because it can be a really stressful situation and honestly not worth the money if you are absolutely miserable. But I say just be careful. It's definitely worth it if you find the right people to live with. As far as things I wish I knew, know that school should not be your whole life. It is not the end of the world. I feel like I have an entire podcast episode on what I learned about being in dental school that I get like really deep into my mental health. So go listen to that for more like in-depth information. But I think you nailed it with finding ways to balance. You need to be efficient in your time to study so that you can find ways to balance. I think we talked about this a little bit on the previous advice too, but like study far in advance, find the ways that you study best and capitalize on that. And then you need to work in balance. You need to work on like finding little things throughout your day that you can do for you, whether that's going on walks, going to fitness classes, reading for fun, drawing, coloring, listening to music, watching reality TV, like whatever it is, like you truly need to find balance. And I say my number one tip is find friends outside of your program so that you're not constantly just tied into talking about physical therapy, talking about classes, because even though you may think you're just hanging out, and I'm not saying you can't have any friends in your program, obviously that's who you're going to relate to the most when you're in physical therapy school, but find people outside of it too that let you like vent about things and aren't in it with you. I just feel like you need an outside opinion on stuff and you need to be able to like pull yourself away from that. Reducing stress kind of goes into just like balancing. And honestly, just remember that it is not the end of the world. Like, I saw something the other day that was like, you will not die, and people will be asking what your GPA was, what your weight on your scale was, how much money you had in your bank account. Like, life is about so much more than those numbers. So just remember that and have the best time ever, because you're going to look back. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I do not look back and be like, oh, I miss dental school. I do not miss it at all. Like, it was a horribly hard 4 years. I miss my friends that I made, obviously. But, like, I miss just, like, being young. I don't know. Like, I'm going to be 28 in July. And it's like, you have so much life ahead of you at that point. So try to think positive and focus on the good. And good luck with the roommate situation. Next one. Currently doing long distance for the first time with a guy I've been with for 5 years. He is not great at communicating during the day. How do I balance texting him and giving him space to do his own thing? I would say just setting boundaries and making your expectations clear. I think, like, when Sean and I have done stints of long distance, just knowing that, like, you may not be able to talk throughout the day because you're both doing your own thing, but finding times to prioritize, like at night, having a phone call or FaceTime to catch up on your day, it gives you actually things to talk about when you're not texting 24/7 throughout the day, and it also gives you time to miss each other. But I do think it's super important to communicate, because that's pretty much all you have long distance. Like, you don't have physical touch, you don't have quality time in person. Like, all you have is that communication piece. So I feel like just, and again, that goes on your end too, like, communicate what you need without having it be overboard. Like, I don't think you should expect each other to text all day every day, like, with what you're doing. I think embrace this time to, like, live your life and explore things that you can do on your own and focus on you, and give that time to miss each other. But also make sure that you're both on the same page of, like, that importance of, at the end of the day or at the end of the week or whenever it is, scheduling time to, like, have good quality conversations and keep up with each other on what you're doing. Like, it sounds stupid, but communication is all you got when you're long distance. So I think communicating your needs and your wants while also balancing, like, finding time for yourself to have your own space too is super important in this. So I think enjoy it for what it is. I know it's very difficult to be long distance, but it's also a really fun time to, like, explore things that you want to do that if your partner were home, you may not be able to do because you just don't have that much time. Okay, next, this is mostly for Lexi. I am a freshman in college right now, majoring in dental hygiene. What are your best study methods and advice on how to not lose motivation, not procrastinate when it comes to studying and schoolwork? I'm really struggling right now since I only have a couple weeks left in the semester and cannot find the motivation. Also, please let me know the pros to your job and what you enjoy most about it. Love you guys both and love the podcast. We love you too. Love that you're getting into the dental world. I am struggling with this myself right now, honestly. But for me, it's finding what I can do to, like, actually focus and not try to, like, spread myself thin while I'm studying so that I can be productive and also enjoy it, if that makes sense. So, for example, as soon as we're done podcasting, I'm going to take my butt outside where there is some fresh air and sunshine, and I'm going to go through practice questions and review things, and I'm going to pop on a Harry Potter movie, because Harry Potter is one of those shows slash movies, like, whatever your comfort show or movie is, or Gilmore Girls, or Gossip Girl, or The Office, whatever. Like, for me, those are just my examples of shows and movies that I've seen a million times that I can have in the background that won't distract me, but also make my study time enjoyable. So I'm not just sitting in silence, like, pulling my hair out, frustrated, wondering when I can be done. I'm also going to set a timer so that I give myself a break every, like, so often to just, like, do whatever I want and scroll on my phone or read my book or whatever it is so that I don't get burnt out. And I would say just study in advance. I kind of screwed myself on that with this one because I don't have that much time. But even so, I am doing it, like, in chunks so that I'm not getting overwhelmed and not forcing myself to do it literally all day so that I'm burnt out for the rest of the week. So time blocking, doing things. If you find that, like, you cannot watch TV in the background, try just, like, putting on, like, lo-fi study beats or, like, acoustic music or instrumentals, jazz, whatever it is that you enjoy, find ways to enjoy studying, whether that's getting cute highlighters and pens, because you know what, you guys, sometimes that's what I need to do, is get out my highlighters to focus myself so that I can stay comfortable and focused. And I'm the kind of person that I just like to be comfortable. So either I'll lay in bed or I'll lay on the lounger outside or the couch. I just need to be comfy while I'm studying. So those are my tips. Pros of my job. Personally, I love working with kids. It can be, you know, a little bit crazy at times to be doing fillings and extractions and things on kids. They don't always love the dentist, but I think that's what makes my job fun. I love the fast-paced environment of a dental office. I love the craziness of a dental office, like the go-go-go attitude. I just think it's really fun, and I enjoy the hands-on aspect of dentistry as well, like doing fillings and working with my hands and not just like sitting at a desk. For me personally, that's what I wanted, and that's what I'm doing. So best of luck in the dental hygiene world. I think you're going to love it. I would say advice in general is just do as much shadowing as you can in the different specialties and see if you like working with kids, like working with adults, if you like working with special needs patients. There's so many like avenues you can take with a dental hygiene job. So just see what it is you want to do. But I hope you guys enjoyed. We finally got through all of the advice questions after 3 weeks of trying. I hope you enjoyed it, but I just wanted to give like one final update too. So we were talking about like hate on the podcast, and I jokingly was like, Sean, should, like, I got a hate comment that was like, this is the most idiotic thing I've ever seen, like whatever, ranting, you know, the stupid stuff that people do on the internet. And I clicked on this person's page, and it is a man with 3 small children. And I'm like, do people know that like there is a face and like profile attached? Like obviously some people are anonymous, whatever, like you have a name and like no profile picture. Like that's one thing if you want to spew hate on the internet, but like this is a real man with his, I'm assuming his children, 3 small children in his profile photo. And I'm like, I'm going to post this on my story. Like if you had the balls and the audacity to comment on my reel and think that nobody would see it, surprise, like I'm posting the comment and your little profile photo on my page. Like, is that petty? Maybe, but it's also like so funny to me. And so many of you guys are DMing me and being like, this is hilarious. Like public shame if someone has the comment, like the balls to comment that, like, why not put it on your story? He doesn't receive messages, so like it is what it is. And so for those of you that are reaching out like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry you're going through this, like guys, I'm laughing about it. That is not the point. I'm just like dumbfounded that people feel the need to comment that on a video instead of scroll past it or just send it to their group chat. I don't know, very bizarre behavior to me. But yeah, so maybe we'll make that like a segment, like negative comment of the week. I really don't get that many. It's only when reels like reach a side of Instagram because they go viral, which is very rare for me. They reach like the random side of the internet that just like doesn't understand sarcasm and trends. Like, I don't know. But that's my update on the hate comments. I hope you guys enjoyed. And I hope you enjoyed this little advice segment. I know it's not like the longest episode ever. We usually strive to be like close to an hour. But honestly, sometimes a good like 30-40 minute episode is probably all you need of my voice alone. So I hope you guys enjoyed. And I'll catch you next week on Outgoing with Outgoing Out for Gabby's birthday recap and World's Weekend episode. I hope you guys have an amazing week. And I'll see you next week. Bye.